Your sensors are correct. Do not adjust your heading. You've discovered the Omega Particle, streaming to the Alpha Quadrant and beyond. Here's your host, the anchorman of the Federation, the Doctor of Dilithium. This is Jonathan Wiegand.
Welcome to the Omega Particle Podcast. Like the man said, I am the hostess with the mostest, your beloved Jonathan Wiegand, sitting back behind the golden OPP microphone, back from vacation, and I am so happy to be here because, I think you have to call the AKC because I got that dog in me. I am so pumped to be back. I was 6 days. Was that at Luna? Is that how long we had off? So it was 6 days at the happiest place on earth. And no, I'm not talking about Waffle House. I'm talking about the Disney World in Orlando, Florida, where money and retirement plans go to die. It was a lot of fun. I had an absolute blast. I got sick, very sick on the trip. I was up all night one of the days that we were there, but thankfully wasn't around the time we did the Star Wars land, and I made the pilgrimage, as they would say, and it was awesome. Like, I'm a big Star Wars fan too, as opposed to Trek, and it was absolutely fantastic. It was everything I ever wanted it to be and needed, and I absolutely loved it and highly recommend it. If you are a Star Wars fan, please go take out that second mortgage, you know, empty the retirement account, whatever you have to do. We had the blue milk, the green milk, but the whole time I was thinking, what would be like the Trek alternative to this? You know, would we just have like this Star Trek land, and it would have like almost kind of what they had in Vegas with the Star Trek experience, but that failed miserably. So I don't know if this will ever happen, but I would love being able to get a drink at Quark's and maybe go walk the halls of the Enterprise. I just think it would be very cool to do. And I know there's tours and things like that, but it's just different when you have an immersive land. And I would love to see that one day. But heck, we can't even get a freaking movie. What are the chances we'll get a whole land one day? But you never know. I digress. But that's not what we're here to talk about, people. We're here to talk about Q-less. Q, not that Q. We're going to end up on some list if we keep talking about that Q. Talking about the episode Q-less, DS9, episode 7. I'm excited to cover it. Or it's episode 6, sorry, because we combine episode 1 and 2, The Emissary. This is an interesting episode. It's unique, I will say, because we do get a touch of the Q continuum, and we get a little chaos on the station's doorstep. But it's not everything that it should have been. And I think a lot of people love this episode, so I'm going to tread lightly here, people. But don't get me wrong, we're going to give everybody a fair shake here. However, just be prepared, there might be some hot takes. So without further ado, Luna, let's roll that beautiful beam footage and get into Q-less. As we start all our reviews off with, we're going to give a little bit of an overview, kind of talk about the episode, what happens in the episode, what the main points, etc., because there might not be a lot of people that have seen this episode in quite some time. I feel like all of a sudden there's all these like crazy show reviews. You have The Office, you have Scrubs, you have everything. Everybody has their own show reviewing it. So I know when I've listened to those in the past, I have not watched the episode. I just listened to the review. So if you haven't listened or watched the episode in quite some time, here's a little breakdown. So we have the omnipotent being Q come back into our wonderful lives, and he is played by the wonderful John DeLance. And it blends a lot of the series together, which is interesting. So we have, you know, Next Generation. That's where we've mainly and always seen Q. Now he's showing up on the station, DS9. And so in this episode, they encounter Q, but he also brings along with him Vash, played by Jennifer Hetrick. Yes, that Vash, and if you remember from our making it so memoir episodes that it's the same woman that Sir Patrick Stewart had an affair with right around this time. But we're not going to talk about that today. So if you don't remember, Vash is an archaeologist, kind of an Indiana Jones type person, but with not as great morals as Indy. Either way, she is the former love interest of Captain Jean-Luc Picard. So she arrives on DS9 via this Gamma Quadrant wormhole, and with her, she has this vast collection of antiquities and artifacts that she wants to auction off on the station. And so the episode unfolds that Vash is there. She's trying to sell, make some money, and Q's not very far behind. She's trying to get away from Q. Q apparently abandoned her in the Gamma Quadrant. She's kind of pissed about that. However, Q's like, don't worry, baby, I want to change. Let's do it. Let's still be friends or still be colleagues, whatever. I don't know. And ultimately, throughout the episode, we see Q kind of testing and poking the bear at Benjamin Sisko. And it kind of provides a great, and we'll get into it, provides a great departure from the usual interactions with Picard, and leads to a very great, memorable altercation with Sisko. Pretty much just Sisko punches Q, and Q goes, well, Picard never hit me. And Sisko's like, I'm not Picard. So it's just very a distinct way early on in the series to distinguish themselves from TNG, from Picard. Be like, hey, I'll put him no garbage. I'm going to clock a guy if he messes with me. So awesome. Meanwhile, DS9, the B plot, we have these kind of mysterious power drains and instabilities, and they're trying to figure out where this is coming from, and they trace it back to one of Vash's artifacts, and this artifact looks like a kickball that can glow on the inside, and it's actually this dangerous entity that can absorb station energy, and it kind of weaves a lot of the personal dynamics between the characters, and with some broader implications, of course. But again, the biggest significant portion of the show is really establishing its identity in the broader Star Trek universe. That is the biggest accomplishment of this episode. So it incorporates different characters that we've seen on TNG, but it kind of contracts, you know, this isn't the Enterprise. This isn't exactly how they would handle it. This is how, you know, this crew, this station handles issues. So it's that's kind of where we're left with. And that's the only thing really of consequence with this episode, which I feel like is needed because this is right around the silver age of Star Trek, as I like to call it. So it's needed to kind of have that distinction, but it's just not done in a very good way. So there is a lot of humor. There's a lot of character development, exploration of the unknown, but we'll get into it, its failings. And as always, please let me know what you think of this episode. I love talking with you guys, whether that's on YouTube, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. So please reach out. Love talking with you guys. If I weigh off the bat, if you agree with my analysis or don't, yeah, please feel free to reach out. So to me, it's no surprise that, you know, Q actually shows up on DS9 in the first season. He's an iconic figure. He's easy to transplant. And he offers the perfect opportunity to really contrast Sisko with the crew of the Enterprise. And so DeLance played great. I think he did a fantastic job. But however, the character doesn't really fit here at all. I mean, well, to be fair, he doesn't really fit anywhere. He didn't really fit on the Enterprise. But I feel like when Q was on the Enterprise, his strangeness, that was the whole point. Like the mariachi band, the wildness, the Nottingham Forest. It was just, you know, he was going up against these well-meaning, quote-unquote, boy and girl scouts. His cynicism and his little gags he did kind of deflated the pomp and circumstance of the crew. And it reminded us why we like the crew of the Enterprise so much. They may be, you know, these kind of nerds, but they're very smart, resourceful, sincere, and amazing friends. And Q was never able to kind of prove that otherwise. He was never able to prove that wrong, no matter how hard he tried. Now, on the flip side, DS9 is completely different. So the leads here on DS9 are very likable and distinct, no question. Awesome. Love them. They're great. DS9 is my favorite series. However, They're also individuals with their own goals, and they exist in a world where there is real pain. Bajor just got out of the occupation. They're living in a, not in a cookie cutter cotton candy world of kind of like an Enterprise starship, but real world, real pain, real suffering. And I think that that's why Q seems kind of almost an afterthought in this episode. Even though it's named after him, Q-less, it's definitely, I mean, he does spar with Sisko, he insults O'Brien, he makes Bashir go to sleep for a day or two, but the majority of his interactions are just really with Vash, played by Jennifer Hetrick, and that's kind of it. Like, they're really just going back and forth. They're kind of in their own little world, in their own little isolated section for a majority of the episode, and we get a lot of attention on just them. And I feel like it's almost an odd pairing, because when we last saw Vash in the episode Cupid on TNG, she agreed to wander the universe with Q, and that was, and I just mentioned that the Sherwood Forest, not Nottingham Forest. I am a Premier League fan, so, but Sherwood Forest, and that was that episode. Robin Hood, Men in Tights, she agrees to go with Q. We've seen Q, you know, a lot since then, but still no Vash in sight, and I could be wrong, but that's just what I remember. But no one ever asked Q where Vash was, especially Picard. He'd be like, hey, you took this love interest of mine to the wherever. Where is she? Have you heard from her? And so I think it's maybe that's just a continuity error. I don't know. We're not going to get into it here. But I think a lot of their conversations, they in this episode, they work okay. They're not bad if you have some sense of the history between the two characters. But it's too early in the DS9 run to spend this much time on people, you know, we're never going to see again. Having Q and Vash take up that much screen time means, you know, the regular ensemble kind of gets the short stick. And I didn't like that, because I tune in to DS9. Again, this is the sixth, seventh episode of the series. You want to still establish that foundation for the show. I mean, for example, we do get some character development. Like, in this episode, early on, we learn that Dr. Bashir is kind of a player, and he kind of shows how he lays the moves down on this Bajoran woman, and he tries to impress her, and he immediately almost starts hitting on Vash when she arrives on the station. And I mean, there's we see that Quark is up to is greedy and trying to manipulate Vash, and she does the thing Umak with his fingers, which I don't know if that's a masturbation or sexual reference. It's okay. It happened in the show, Luna. We can talk about it. But it's just, you know, it's dirty without being actually dirty, but it's just very, for the other characters, it's just kind of run the mill. You know, Sisko's grumpy, Kira's feisty, O'Brien's the union everyman, and Odo's grumpy too. I just feel like that's all well and good and entirely consistent with what we've seen so far. And there's nothing wrong with consistency, because that's what we want to know. We have to understand this ensemble. So moving on from that and kind of the consistency and kind of the main cast getting the shaft a little bit, I will say that DS9 has done a decent job of world building. Even in episodes where the world building wouldn't see that immediately obvious. They're not bashing over the head with it. Even in Captive Pursuit, they gave us a chance to kind of see more of Chief O'Brien. We got a sense of Sisko and Odo's willingness to bend the rules. Kind of remember Odo's walking to the turbo lift and Sisko's like, take your time, pal. And Odo's like, you got it. That's terrible. I don't know. I have people. It's fine, guys. I have the crew looking at me here. But in Q-less, however, the writers make an effort to distance DS9 from TNG more than anything. They throw Q and Sisko into direct confrontation. They overwhelmingly beat us over the head, you know, that Sisko wasn't going to put up with any Q's crap in the same way that Picard did. And I think that's fine. And I mean, it was so obvious, like I mentioned at the opening of this episode, it was Sisko literally saying, I'm not Picard. But it did what it was supposed to do. So I feel like that, even that scene alone, isn't enough to justify the episode. And considering that Q spends most of the hour kind of doing the same old tricks he did on the Enterprise, which is, you know, popping up randomly, being super sarcastic, making people disappear. It's just not like that had much effect on the crew, because they're dealing with a lot of crap and a lot of, like I mentioned before, real world problems. And so it just doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Moving on to even the crisis, the B plot, you know, the mysterious power draining. The station experiences crisis all the time. And the crisis in this episode didn't even have anything to do with Q. It just seems, you know, it's kind of a run of the mill. It's a B plot. And that's another knock on the episode I had, is that we knew at the end of the episode they were going to figure out the power issue. Everything was going to be restored. It's very familiar, very par for the course. And this is a sort of action that we've seen on every Trek, multiple times on every series, which, you know, DS9's not going to forego that. We're going to have singular episodes like that. Well, even in newer shows, we're going to get that. That's just how it is. But it's just that this, even the B plot, it's not enough to really drive the episode due to the predictability. The closest thing we can even focus on in this episode is that with Vash's decision to break ties with Q for good. And that is very underdeveloped. Hetrick, who plays Vash, was very good in her role, but the script, in my opinion, never really gave her much of a chance to kind of get inside her head. And for a person to make such a monumental decision to kind of turn her back on years of spending time with this entity, and potentially risk the wrath of, as we saw with Q kind of striking her down with all these diseases and losing her hair and all this kind of nonsense, it's just not very well drawn out. And I wish we got more of that in the episode. And I think that would have been really cool. But speaking of Vash, you know, she behaves largely as you would expect, especially if you've seen other episodes with her in Next Generation. You know, it's just kind of flirting with Bashir, being able to easily manipulate Quark into doing what she wants, and it's just kind of, and telling Q to back off. There's no real depth behind that. It's just kind of this front character, and there's no real sense of any of her relationships on the show. And I feel like, for example, even that learning that Q abandoned her, we don't get any more depth than that. We're just like, you abandoned me. We're like, okay. That's it. So I know I'm ragging on the episode quite a bit. I really don't mean to. It's just, to me, I want to point out just the inconsistencies that I have with the episode. And I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. So as we all know, Sisko and the others figure out the source of the disturbance. It's Zvash's kickball that can gleam up. So I guess it's also a creature too. So they beam it off. And, you know, there's no consequence for Vash. There's no consequence for anybody. It's just the end of it. And I feel like Q-Liss is very lively at times and has some great snarky work from DeLance. Again, he was amazing. But it's just a very frustrating episode to watch. And even though it fit the generic Trek template, it was very frustrating and kind of is a big reminder why Deep Space Nine needs to keep its own identity. Do not try to interject things that were successful on the Next Generation into DS9. They are two separate entities, two separate self-sustaining, functioning shows. And I feel like it's okay to have a crossover here and there, but this one I feel like was almost a gotcha, let's kind of bolster views and I didn't like that. I will say, the episode, to get some positives, the episode did give us a great kind of contrast with the captains. You know, Sisko's punch heard round the quadrant is a defining moment. It is DS9 screaming at the top of their lungs, we are not TNG and certainly not Picard. It is a moment of raw, un-Starfleet-like frustration that says volumes about Sisko and the tone of DS9. Yet, I can't help myself, yet despite this, the episode can't seem to decide if it's a lighthearted romp or a deep dive into character dynamic. Okay, maybe that's the only positive thing I can say about it. I'm so sorry. I just feel like, you know, in closing, that as much as the title suggests, it just felt very lacking. It's a cocktail of ingredients that, you know, when mixed together, they don't really blend well together. And even Q's presence, that was a highlight of the episode, just underscores just the identity crisis for the show that we've seen. And so, my beautiful, dear listeners, what do you think? Was this a misstep for DS9? Was it a necessary stumble on the path to greatness? So beam me your thoughts. Transmit your thoughts to me. My hailing frequencies are open. Drop me a subspace line. Let me know what you think. Because to me, I feel like it could go either way. You could really enjoy this episode, or you could really think it's just a kind of one of those things that you like it on the level as I used to, and then the more you deep down analyze it, you're like, oh, this is hot garbage. Maybe I don't like this episode. Not what I expected. It's kind of like sugar-free pudding. You're excited, it's pudding, but then you eat, when you start eating it, you're like, something's off, something's missing. So again, let me know what you think. That's all we have today in our review. We're a little bit shorter than some of the other episodes, but that's our piece, and that's what we're sticking with. And Luna, let's wrap it up. So in the vast expanse of Star Trek, you're always going to have episodes that hit and episodes that don't. And this was one, in my opinion, that didn't hit. But either way, thank you all so much for listening. It's been great to be back to kind of deep dive into DS9 reviews. But also, we have our second Mirror episode coming up this week. So I'm really excited about that. And don't worry, I'm not going to do a lot of Mirror jokes coming from Disney World. But either way, look out for that later on in the week. And I do want to mention that we need all to set our phasers to fun. Luna, you give me this kind of crap. So Luna gives me a script. And then she's like, look, these are little fun antidotes, you could say. And this is one of them. And this is just hot garbage. I'm sorry. Either way, please check out www.jasontalksmovies.wordpress.com. That address again is www.jasontalksmovies.wordpress.com. He just released a Dune 2 review, and I love Dune 2, not just for the popcorn buckets, but I thought it was a great film, and he did a great spoiler-free review. So go please check out his blog and his website for that. Always great stuff on there as well that you can check out, not only Dune 2, but several other movies and shows as well. As always, remember, take care of yourselves. You're needed and valued on this planet, valued in this quadrant. And as we always say, second star to the right, straight on till morning.